All right. Hey, Horizon family. Great to be with you in this format. Of course, we'd rather be together, but it's great that God has given us this means that we can still connect and how important it is to connect. Well, I'm excited to be able to share God's word with you today. You know, just again, during these days of this crisis and very unusual set of circumstances, it's important for all of us to remember that we have no idea, and I don't claim to have any prophetic or any knowledge that God causes these things. But what I do know is that God always wants to work something wonderful in our lives during these seasons of life. It's in these times of uncertainty that we have a way of going in and recalculating our priorities and maybe getting our heart in a place that's stronger with the Lord. And I know that's what the Lord wants to do in your life, in my life during this time. He reminds us of what's important. Today I'd like to just share with you a bit about God's word and his promises. And so we're going to be turning in a couple of minutes to various places, but I'm just going to quote out of Genesis here to begin with. And if you want to be turning in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4, kind of that's the first places where we'll look together. But remember in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And over, when you go through that chapter 1, you hear the words, and God said, and then there was an outcome of some sort. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And over, that phrase is repeated. You know, again, the world kind of started out in a chaotic, dark place. It says that it was darkness and it was over the face of the deep, and there was chaos. But then the Word of God came upon that scene and began to change everything. Out of darkness, he brought forth light. From chaos, he brought order. From emptiness, he brought life, variety, and beauty. And it's a beautiful picture of what God's Word does when it goes into our lives. Even Paul seems to draw on this when he likens our being born again as new creation, 2 Corinthians 4:6, and he seems to liken it with the old creation. He says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, he made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so just as even God said, let there be light in the first creation, our lives as new creations began when we allowed the Word of God to go in and make us new creations. We let his light come in and show us the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful picture. We see something similar in 2 Corinthians 5:17. There it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things are made new. So just a simple thought to begin with, that just as his word worked powerfully in the old creation, so too, as new creations in Jesus Christ, when we allow his word to go in, he begins to move out the darkness, he begins to bring in the light, he begins to bring order into the chaos of our lives when we allow the let there be to come into our lives. Now, I don't want to go in depth on just talking on the Word of God. I want to specifically talk today about the promises of God. The promises of God, which is the Word of God, but not all the Word of God is directly a promise. But what is a promise? Well, it's a declaration that something will or will not be done, essentially. It's an express assurance on which expectation is to be based. God wants us to be confident and assured and hopeful in expecting he will do what he said he would do. And his promises are a strong reason to give us hope in our lives. And that's kind of one of the reasons I want to share this with us, is that we can get our focus on so many things that are so uncertain and sometimes scary, that if our focus is on the promises of God, they will have the effect of bringing the assurance that God wants us to have with those promises. Sometimes we can doubt promises. Sometimes, you know, people have said things and they don't come through with it. And even this was what was hurled against the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians when he made a claim to the Corinthians that he was coming to visit, then he had to change his plans, and thus he has to defend why he changed his plans. And to make sure that no dark light was cast upon the character of God, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God." And so God wants us to be assured that his promises are yes and amen to our, in our lives. They're something that we can build our lives upon, that bring hope, even when we've not yet seen the fulfillment of them. They themselves become a basis and a strength of hope to our lives. In Ezekiel 36, verse 36, God reassuring or wanting people to remember what he would do concerning his word, he said, "Then the nations around you that remain will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed, and I have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it," God said. I love that about God's word. Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, tells us that God's promises are the basis for entering into the divine life of God. He says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life through our knowledge, through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us the very great and precious promises, that through them you may be partakers of the divine nature." You and I begin our eternal life when we grasp onto the very first promise that whosoever believes in him will be saved. When we've believed on him, we've entered literally into the divine nature. We've become those new creations because we believe that initial promise of God. But there are many other promises beyond salvation. And again, they're meant to be a source of strength and hope to our lives. Again, if you have your Bible, I encourage you to pick up and turn to Hebrews chapter 6 with me here. Hebrews 6, and I want to read beginning with verse 17. It says, "Thus God, determining to show more abundantly the heirs of the promise, the immutability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, you and I might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. And this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence beyond the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." So, in these verses here, the writer of Hebrews is assuring us that just as God had made a promise to Abraham, he assured it with an oath that we might know beyond a measurable doubt that that God's word will come to pass just as he said it. And then the writer goes on and talks about these very promises of God are literally meant to be an anchor to the soul for our lives. You know, unlike anchors that we see in the world where we're in a boat, we think of an anchor going downward. Here the picture is the opposite. It's an anchor that goes upward into heaven and enters the presence beyond the veil where Jesus has gone. It's almost like Jesus has taken the anchor and the rope still tied to it, and he's taken it up to heaven into the Holy of Holies, but that anchor line goes all the way down to our hearts, and it's meant to be a promise to our lives. You know, years ago when I was working in Austria at the Bible College, we used to take Bible College students every spring to Rome and see the sights of Rome. And one of the things that we'd love to do is we would take them to the catacombs, where it's these underground burial chambers that are tunnels all throughout this one part of the city. And there we have some of the earliest graves of Christians from around 300 AD, I believe, is what it was. So you're walking down these tunnels and you have a tour guide with you, and of course, there's lights down there, and they do little visits along some of the tombs to give you stories of it. And one of the things that is a common emblem that you see in the early tombs of these Christians is they didn't predominantly use the cross like we do as a symbol of Christianity upon their on their tombstones. One of the most common, there was two common pictures from the scriptures that they used on their tombstones. One of them was the Good Shepherd. And so you often saw a picture of a shepherd with a sheep and a staff. That's one of the pictures that they loved in those early days of Christianity. And another was you would see these anchors. And they would be which would be on their tombstones. The idea was is that that was the hope of their life. This what anchored their life was the hope of the resurrection, the hope of Jesus Christ. You know, powerfully in these days when the world can certainly feel unstable and uncertain, things are not normal, how wonderful it is that our lives can be anchored in something beyond just this world. I don't know how unbelievers, to be honest with you, deal with life apart from Jesus Christ. With all the uncertainty in normal life, let alone seasons like now. What a joy it is to know that you and I have Jesus as the anchor of our lives, a basis of hope that goes beyond this world, to know that our lives are in His control. Our lives are in His hands. And there's just great strength, in my opinion. I'm not sure how people deal with those things without having Jesus Christ. I know for me, for instance, a promise that I held on to when I went through a great health crisis back in 2010, where I was having lung problems, somebody gave me in a card, and the Holy Spirit illuminated it to my heart powerfully, Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. "But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. And when you pass through the waters," notice God said you won't pass through the waters, "but when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers they shall not overthrow you. And when you walk through the fire," not if you do, but when, "you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." And so that promise came alive to me. You know, before I knew the outcome of my health situation, the promise itself gave me a basis of hope and comfort. But I needed to lay claim to it. And you and I need to learn to lay claim to the promises. They are there, but we have to stand upon them. We have to pray them and say, "Lord, I want to make this real to my life." And you know, make them food to my soul. Make them the anchor of my soul, if that's what we need to do. So important we do that. And God has given us many promises. Some of them I would share with you, you know, right now, just quickly in coming to the end here. First of all, we have the promise of eternal life if we believe. 1 John 2:20, and this is His promise, that He has promised us eternal life if we believe in His Son. We have the promise that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And He said the same thing in the Great Commission, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth." We have the promise of forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We have the promise of peace. Isaiah 26:3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." That's a promise, you know, that is peace in him. He said the same thing in John 16:33, "In me is peace," Jesus said. "In the world you will have tribulation." Yeah, I think for some of us, you know, we're experiencing that now. "But in me is peace. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world," Jesus says. That's a promise to hang on to. Philippians 4:19 promises that He'll meet our needs And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And, you know, I know there's financial aspects to this crisis, and there's a promise for us to hang on to. And if things don't seem to be certain, we have the certainty that our good shepherd watches over us. So again, just a simple thought for us today, guys, that God has given us a whole book filled with these promises. They allow us to be partakers of his divine nature. But we must utilize them. We must lay claim to them. It's like you're having money in a bank, but you have to withdraw that money to have the benefits of it and not leave it unclaimed. And so I encourage you during this time, take your family and find some promises and rejoice over them, pray over them, and let them be an anchor to your soul. Amen? Let's close in a word of prayer. So, Father, we just thank you that you've given us so many promises to base our life upon. And thank you that your promises are yes and amen in you. They are sure and steadfast. They are the anchor of our soul. Thank you so much, Lord, that we have these things. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen, and God bless you guys.